Had a wonderful Wiser Society get together last night at Pam Johnson's house, and it was my pleasure to teach a lesson there last night, so we get to do it again this morning. Yeah. I'm not the only one that gained weight last night. Yeah, it was wonderful. So before we pick up the offering, I'll go ahead and pray for the offering and for the lesson, and we'll get started here. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this wonderful morning, this nice, cool, relaxing morning. Lord, it's good to be in your house. Lord, I pray that each and every individual that came here today came with the sole purpose of being here to worship you. Lord, as we prepare our hearts, even now for the lesson to come, the sermon to come, Lord, we thank you for all your good blessings. During this time of offering, we want to give back to you, Lord, a portion of that which you have blessed us with. So bless our offering, the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Go ahead, gentlemen. So, I have had the pleasure over the years of teaching a lot of different lessons from God's Word. And one of my favorite things that I have ever, ever had the pleasure of teaching is the 23rd Psalm. It's only six verses. You see it up there on the board. If you see me doing this or saying, Brother Steve, he has to manually change the slides for me. I have a PC that doesn't like to play well. But it's been my pleasure to teach through the 23rd Psalm. The lesson material that I have to do this only takes 12 weeks. That's 2 weeks per verse. I wish we could do that. We can't. I have one Sunday morning to share with you some thoughts from the 23rd Psalm, and Dr. Brian will be back next week to pick up where we left off with firm foundations. But this is such a beautiful passage, and so we'll just see how far we get with it today. We'll go ahead and read it. You see it up there. Most of this is familiar to everyone, but my brain has gotten to a point I don't recite scripture as well as I used to. Even last night, some people were saying, oh, I love the 23rd Psalm, and we started to recite it and then look at each other like, eh, got to have it in front of me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Sometimes, unfortunately, we don't even hear it read like that. If you ask somebody to say the 23rd Psalm, a lot of times it's like the little ones that come up and they take that big breath of air and they recite John 3:16. You know what I'm talking about? And a lot of times you'll hear people even recite the 23rd Psalm like that. And part of the reason is it's become so familiar, and people are almost proud of the fact that they can recite from memory the 23rd Psalm. But sometimes the downside of that is we lose its richness. We lose the meaning of it. Even John 3:16, you'll hear the little ones recite 3:16 as fast as they can. And if we could just slow down with God's word, just slow down and read the 23rd Psalm like you've never read it in your life, or it's the first time you've read it. How many of you would say this is one of your favorite passages in the Bible? All right? Well, what if I said it's one of your favorite Psalms? Okay, so it's one of your favorite Psalms. But how many of you would actually say, well, in addition, Brother Dennis, to it being one of my favorite Psalms, it is one of my favorite passages in the Bible? Absolutely. Unfortunately, you don't hear a lot of preaching on it anymore. Where do you hear the 23rd Psalm typically? What'd you say? Funerals. I mean, that's a true statement. Most of the funerals that I have done over my 30 years of ministry, most of the time it's with people I know or family members, but sometimes it's total strangers and they get a hold of me and they say, Brother Dennis, will you do a funeral for, you know, cousin Steve has passed away? Will you do this? I'll say, is there anything particular you want me to add to the funeral sermon? And almost inevitably they will say, please add the 23rd Psalm. Okay. I do it for the family. There's a problem if I don't know that individual. There's even a problem when I buried my six brothers, my dad, my mom, and did all their funerals. If you don't know where they are spiritually at the point in which they died, is there a problem? Looking at the 23rd Psalm. The reason everybody wants the 23rd Psalm included in their funeral is the very last statement. I mean, all six verses are beautiful, don't get me wrong. But the very last statement in the 23rd Psalm says, surely I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I've preached that, and open casket, and there lies the body of one of my brothers. And his daughters will come up to me afterwards and say, Uncle Dennis, do you think that's where Dad is? Because you said in the funeral, surely I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What about the 23rd Psalm would tell us whether or not that statement is true? In order for you to claim the last phrase, you see it up here? In order for you to claim, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, you must first be able to exclaim. Did you catch that? In order for you to claim the last statement, you have to be able to exclaim the first statement. You catch it? What is the very first statement in the 23rd Psalm? The Lord is my shepherd. If you can't claim, if you can't exclaim, the Lord is my shepherd, you can't claim, surely I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now you see that highlighted up there on this slide. A gentleman in the sound booth, he's really good. I didn't even ask him to do that. I highlighted here my favorite phrase in the 23rd Psalm. It may not be yours. In fact, all of you are familiar with the 23rd Psalm. Does anyone have a favorite phrase? It could be a nugget, it could be a word, it could be a whole verse, other than what I've highlighted, because those are my five, six, seven. Those are my seven favorite words in the 23rd Psalm. Anyone else? Please understand, in my Sunday school classes, these are interactive. If I ask you a question, you really can shout out an answer. Anyone else have something in the 23rd Psalm that you would say, here's my favorite words or phrase? Yes, ma'am. Verse number three. You're saying verse number three. He restoreth my soul. Is that the portion of verse number three that jumps out at you? Judy, in your life, in your walk with the Lord. And Patty raised her hand too. There's something about that phrase, he restoreth my soul, that touches you. That's what you're sharing. Anyone else? Judy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's a big, beautiful phrase. What is it about that phrase that touches you? You grew up singing that phrase. Did you want to sing it for us right now? Okay, well, I just gave her a chance. You know what I liked about that phrase? He doesn't say just one of the days of my life. An occasional day or two, he'll follow. It says all the days. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days. There's a beautiful picture of that verse in a book by Keller. Philip Keller wrote a wonderful book called A Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm. And he was indeed a shepherd. Philip Keller was a shepherd in addition to being a preacher. So he knows what it means to raise sheep and take care of sheep. His book, and I really encourage you to read this sometime, his book looks at the 23rd Psalm in 1 year of taking care of the sheep. 1 year in the journey of the sheep. Because this psalm is really written not from the standpoint so much of from the shepherd as it is, it's a sheep talking to other sheep. I don't know if you've ever noticed that about this. And may I say to you, it's not a psalm for the dead. As much as we use it as at funerals, it's not a psalm for the dead. It's a psalm for the living. It's an encouragement to the living. Who is goodness and mercy, and why are they following me? That's what the sheep might ask. The sheep who are following their shepherd, being led by their shepherd, keep looking over their shoulders going, who is surely in goodness and why are they following me? Well, a lot of times in sheep herds in Israel, and even today, if it's a large herd, in addition to the shepherd being out front leading them, what might be behind the sheep kind of keeping them going? Dogs, sheep dogs. He named his sheep dogs, no, not surely, goodness and mercy. He named his sheepdogs goodness and mercy. But in his book, he brings up, he goes, when will we ever grasp the fullness of this psalm to the point that two of God's angels, two of God's guardian angels, this is the picture he had in his mind, and I love this picture. As Patty and I have walked through so many things together, to think that there could be a couple of guardian angels named goodness and mercy. My eyes are on the Lord. My eyes are on the shepherd. He's leading me. But what a comfort it is, Judy, to be able to look over our shoulder and see goodness and mercy following us. Brenda, thank you. Thank you. Judy, Brenda, following us all the days of our life. All right, so two people so far spoke up. Is there a phrase, a verse, a word somewhere in there that we haven't mentioned yet that speaks to your heart? Yes, ma'am. For thou art with me. I'm looking up there. Middle of verse 4. Not all of verse 4. There's a phrase in verse 4, for thou art with me. Tell me your first name. Lynn. Why does that speak to you? For thou art with me. You don't have to be lonely. You're not in this on your own, are you? The phrase, for thou. For thou art with me. Does that speak to you when you think about the goodness of the Lord? Thanks for sharing that. You can tell it touches an emotional chord with me. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, in the life of the sheep, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's okay. In the life of the sheep, as he's leading them up into, he takes them from the lower pasture land up into the mountains, into the upper pasture lands. And within these mountain ranges, there are things called tablelands. We sing a song, the Lord leads me into the tablelands. And so the shepherd with these sheep actually goes up there during the off season and make sure that the table pasture land up there is well taken care of. Pulling weeds, you know, it'd be like having True Green go up and make sure everything's fine. Because he knows later on he's going to be bringing the sheep up there. He has already prepared the table lands for his sheep. I read this phrase the other day as I was studying this, and I couldn't help but read it this way. Thou prepares a table for two. One of these days, I'm going to sit down with the Lord. He prepares a table for two, even in the presence of my enemies. I think of, who was it? Lazarus died, and you know, he looked, and we're not going to be, when we're in heaven, we're not going to be surrounded by our enemies. But metaphorically, you think, my goodness, the Lord is preparing for me. He loves me so much that he would prepare a table for two. The Lord would sit down and have dinner with me. Do you remember when the Lord sat down at a dinner table in the Bible? And as he was sitting there, a woman walked up to him and did something. She anointed his head with oil. You remember that? The alabaster box. And here it is, David speaking about this whole thing of, why would you anoint a sheep's head with oil? And it's to get rid of the bugs. It's almost medicinal. But for us, being anointed with oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. But we're getting, that's what I love about the 23rd Psalm. I wish we could spend 12 weeks on it and break it down piece by piece and really share with you all of this. It's a beloved psalm. It's easy to overlook things. Look at the first three verses compared to the last three verses, and even notice how David changes the pronouns. Look how he changes the pronouns. After the first verse, the Lord is my shepherd, he then begins to use the pronoun he. Look how many times he says he. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores my soul. He guides me. And after talking in the first half of the 23rd Psalm about his shepherd, he changes it and now gets real personal, beginning in verse 4 and 5. He changes from the word he to more what we would say is you. He goes about talking about God, about his shepherd, and now he's talking to him. Instead of you, and of course in King James, we have thou. But he's talking to him, beginning in verse 4. Now all of a sudden we start to see, I will fear no evil. Why? Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest for me a table. Thou anoints my head with oil. One of the things I've learned from this is if we're going to talk about our shepherd, and that's what he does for the first three verses, he talks about his shepherd, we ought to spend time talking to our shepherd. Sometimes we can get caught up in talking about. Boy, we're out there witnessing and we're talking about God and we're talking about our shepherd. And we're wondering why our ministry is not as effective as we think it should be. Maybe it's because we're not spending enough time talking to our shepherd. And that's what he does in the second half of the psalm. The other thing you want to notice grammatically is, how does the 23rd Psalm start? It starts the first two words with what? The Lord. That's how it starts. It starts with the Lord. How does it end? The last three words. The Lord forever. There's no coincidence in this. David is a songwriter. He wrote this song. Songwriters, when they put lyrics down on the paper, they don't just throw words down randomly. There's a purpose to it. And so this is how David wrote the 23rd Psalm. So I was asked, I told some folks last week that this is what I thought I was going to be teaching on. Somebody in the Centerpoint class, young man in the Centerpoint class, I would guess he's in his mid-30s, said to me, Dennis, I wish I could sit on the lesson. I would like you to explain to me, what does the phrase, I shall not want, mean? Very sincere man, very active in our church, very active, does a lot of things in the church, and he sincerely said, I don't understand the phrase, I shall not want. Because in his mind, he had a definition of the word want. What do you suppose his definition was? What is the definition of most of the people out there when they say the word want? How would they define that? Huh? Who said me? Yeah. Me. You're doing this. What else? Self. I want. You know, we even say that. What do you want? What do you want for dinner? What do you want for Christmas? What do you want? What do you want? And so we use that phrase all the time, a want. And this gentleman says, well, I would like to know in the 23rd Psalm what that means. I shall not want. And that's where we're going to spend most of our time. However, before we get there, how important is that phrase that's highlighted up there? The Lord is my shepherd. I wish you could see my notes, because when I asked myself, what's the most important word, what's the most important phrase in the 23rd Psalm to the life of Dennis? I underlined five words. I underlined the word the. Seriously? I underlined the word Lord. I underlined the word is. I underlined the word my. And I underlined the word shepherd. Separately. Five separate words. How important is the word the? When David wrote this psalm, and think about where he was traveling, think about the societies around him, and even today, David said, the Lord. Is that very important? The Lord? Compared to what? Huh? Compared to the other gods, the small g's. They had gods for everything, did they not? Greeks, Romans, the Amalekites, we've been studying this. They had a god for everything. They had the god of the weather and the god of the crops. Today, we have friends, we have family members, work associates. My former secretary, Roman Catholic, bless her heart. She had a saint for everything. Lost her keys, Saint Andrew. Did this, Saint. And they have gods, and they have, and when David wrote this, he says, I want to make this perfectly clear to you. There's one God, there's one Lord, Yahweh, the Lord, the God. Those are important words. Does anyone have their Bibles open right now to the 23rd Psalm? Most of you are carrying King James, but even if you're not. The word Lord, how is it written in there? Is it capital L, small O, small R, small D? It's all caps. Okay. In most manuscripts throughout the Old Testament, particularly I know in my King James, every mention of Lord, L-O-R-D, in the Old Testament is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. I never realized that before. Yeah, it's smaller, but they're capitals. Then I went to the New Testament just to see. And in the New Testament, every time it talked about the Lord God, Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, it's capital L, small O, small R, small D. Then the third way you'll find Lord written in your Bible is all small. And that might be where a servant, a hired hand, is talking to his boss and would say, Lord, what do you want me to do? You know, might be a coworker of Greg saying, okay, I finished up this, you know, Lord, what do you want me to do next? He's not giving reverence. That's just the term that they use, Lord, Master, servanthood, and things like that. But in the Old Testament, I had to Google this. Why are there three different ways on Lord? One of the things I found is in the Old Testament, God Almighty, is Yahweh. They don't say the word Yahweh. They couldn't do it. Yahweh was broken down to four consonants. Those four consonants in English for us became Lord. L-O-R-D, all capitals. I thought that was interesting. I say all of that because that's the reverence David has and David is giving in the 23rd Psalm. That's the reverence. So how important are those two words? The Lord is my shepherd. How important are those three words? The Lord is. Not maybe. Not I hope so. Not I sure wish it would be nice if he was. What is he saying with that word, is? Some of you are shaking your heads. How important is that word is? What is it saying? There's no doubt, is there? It takes away the word doubt. There's no question in David's mind, the Lord is. And I can't speak for you. I don't know if he's your shepherd. I don't know if he's your shepherd. But I will tell you this. The Lord God Almighty, Yahweh, is without a doubt my, you see how important that word is? Do you see how important that is? Don't come to a funeral and ask me if even my brother Wayne was the Lord, my brother Wayne's shepherd. I don't know. Number one, I didn't live around my brother for 30 years, but even if I did, I don't know. I can tell you from the bottom of my heart, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, the first time I ever taught this, I was teaching it to a class of young people who had just graduated from the youth group. So I guess it would be Brother Joel's class, young adults. That's what I was teaching. And I was ready to move on to verse 2 when all of a sudden in the back of the room there was a hand up. Young person, 20 years old, had his hand up. I said, yes, can I help you? He goes, who's the Lord? I went, excuse me? Who is the Lord? Yeah, I was ready to move on to verse 2. Okay, so the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not, he maketh me lie down. Can I help you? Can you take a few minutes to explain to me who the Lord is? I was stopped dead in my tracks. The Holy Spirit stopped me dead in my tracks. My Sunday school lesson was no longer a matter of importance, was it? When I preach this at a funeral, who am I preaching it to? The dead or the living? The living. And somebody in that funeral home, somebody in my Sunday school class wanted to know who is the Lord. What is Brother Brian teaching us Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday? The fundamentals of our faith. Do you understand why he's doing that? The fundamentals of our faith. Do you know how easy it would be for me to blast through the 23rd Psalm? It's 6 verses. We could be done. Until somebody stopped me dead in my tracks and said, but who's the Lord? And the rest of the class looked at me and said, all right, Brother Dennis, how are you going to answer that question? What are you going to do? You're just going to keep repeating yourself and say, oh, he's my shepherd. Something told me that that young man back there didn't have a clue. Who is the Lord? Well, let's just look at a couple verses just to see if we can help him along. Should I go to the New Testament? Would David have gone to the New Testament to answer his question? Why wouldn't David have gone to the New Testament? Didn't exist. Was no New Testament. If David was asked that question, and the picture here is David is a sheep, and he's in a sheep pen, and he's right up against the fence, and he's talking to the sheep on the other side of the fence. And he goes, I don't know who your master is. I don't know who your shepherd is, but mine's the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. And that sheep on the other side of the fence says, who is he? You're in Psalm. Take a right-hand turn in Psalm. Stay in Psalm, but go to Psalm 80. Psalm 80. Let's find out who is this person. Psalm 80, verse 1. It says, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the angels, between the cherubims. Verse 2, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause my face to shine, and we shall be saved. Who is the Lord? The Lord is our Savior. He looks at me and says, I need more info. Psalm 100. I'll just turn to Psalm 100. Still trying to find an answer. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, remember he asked me, who is the Lord? Verse 3 of Psalm 100 says, the Lord is who? God. It is he that has made us. And not we ourselves. We are his people and the what? The sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, with praise. Be thankful. Bless his name. The Lord is good. His mercy is forever. His truth endureth. The Lord is God. What else might he have used? Ezekiel. Now, if I take a right in my Old Testament, and I'm going to go to Ezekiel. If you get a chance, read Ezekiel chapter 34. You might want to write that down, Ezekiel chapter 34. Do any of you have headers in your Bible? I have a study Bible, and sometimes my Bible will have headers over certain verses. Anybody have a header over Ezekiel 34, let's say verse 11? Anybody have a header there? No? Yeah, mine says God will care for his flock. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among them, that they are scattered, he'll seek them out. So will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them, verse 13. And I will bring them out. I will gather them. I will bring them to their own land. I will feed them. That's all in verse 13. Verse 14, I will feed them in the rotten pasture, in the no good, dried up, brown as can be pasture. It's not what it says, is it? I will feed them in a good pasture and up the high mountains. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed. Don't let anyone ever tell you at a buffet line again, you can't go back for thirds. No, I'm just kidding you. I just how I read that. Fat pasture. I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost. I will bind up that which was broken. I will strengthen that which was sick. And then lastly, 1 Chronicles. If you're looking for that in relation to Psalm 23, that would be a left in your Bible. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Chapter 16 talks about the fact that the Ark of the Covenant had been captured and it was gone. David went and got it, recaptured the ark, brought it back to Jerusalem. Chapter 16, verse 1. They brought the ark of God, the ark of the covenant, and set it up and pitched it in a tent that David had pitched for it. And after they had done that, he offered up sacrifices, burnt offerings, sacrifices and offerings unto the Lord. David's worshiping the fact that the ark of the covenant is back in their presence, that God is with them. David blessed the people in verse 2, in the name of the Lord. Verse 7. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm. He wrote a song. That's what psalm means. Verse 7 of 1 Chronicles chapter 16 says, on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord. Give thanks unto the Lord, he sang out. Make known his deeds. Sing unto him. Talk ye of his wondrous works. In others, tell others. It's what David is saying to us. Tell others about the goodness of God. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works and all that he has done. Do you ever just pause sometimes in your studies, in the busyness of the world? How often do you ever pause and just start to count your blessings? Name them one by one. A lot of times I'm studying, maybe for a sermon, maybe for a lesson to teach or whatever, and I find myself, I don't know how long I've been sitting here. 30, 40 minutes. Patty might walk in and go, how's it going? Jeez, what were you doing? And in my mind, something that I read triggered me to count my blessings and to remember the goodness of God. And I don't know how long I've been sitting there doing it, but that's good to do that. Verse 23, sing unto the Lord about his salvation, declare his glory, his marvelous works, verse 25, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And so this was what David thought of the Lord. If I do go to the New Testament, where in the New Testament, does anyone know? I hate to put you on the spot like this, but in the New Testament, do you know where you would go if you wanted to talk to somebody or share some scripture with somebody about Jesus being the good shepherd? Anybody know where that is? The Gospel of John. If you were to go to the Gospel of John in your New Testament and look at chapter 10. Chapter 10 of the Gospel of John. How am I doing here? Okay, we got 10 minutes. The header in my Bible, John chapter 10, says, the Good Shepherd. I see some of you nodding your heads. The Good Shepherd. And in mine, this is red letter edition. Anybody have a red letter edition? All right, John chapter 10. How red is it? Bev, isn't it? It's Jesus talking all the way through verse 18. And what he's doing is he's explaining, not from David's point of view now, but from Jesus' point of view, sheep. And back then, during the night, you would bring your sheep into the corral, just like you might corral horses or cattle or goats or whatever it might be. You would bring them into the sheepfold. The problem is that sheepfold is a corporate sheepfold. So not only, Greg, did you bring your sheep in, but I brought my sheep in. And you brought in your sheep the night before, and all these sheep are in there. And someone is standing at the gate. He's a porter. That's all in the scripture. If you read this, I'm not making any of this up. There's verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door, but climbeth over. Verse 2, he that entereth is by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Verse 3, to him the porter opens. So what happens is the shepherd in the morning comes. He says, hey, how are you doing, Bob? Bob's the porter. Doing good. How are you? Good. Did you get a good night's sleep? I did. Time to call my sheep. He opens it up, and the shepherd stands at that gate. And what's he start to do? You're nodding your head. What is he doing? He's calling his sheep. What did you say? By name. By name. Patty. By name. The shepherd knows his sheep by name. How well do the sheep know him? What if he's not their shepherd? Remember, there's three different flocks in there, three different owners. Two flocks are going to ignore him. One flock is going to follow because they know his voice. When God's talking to you, remember, scripture tells us to test the spirits. Do you know when God is talking to you? Does he get your attention? Does he call you by name? What about a false teacher? What about a false apostle? What about a false preacher who'll stand up here, claim to know the word of God, but is not sharing the truth of God? Would you know to get away from them? Okay? And so the good shepherd, Jesus says in verse 7, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door in verse 9. By me, if any man entereth in, he shall be saved. Go out, going in, finding pasture. I come that they might have abundant life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. Shepherd gives his life for his sheep. I got that far, and then I shared the gospel from the New Testament. It took 2 weeks to get past that phrase, "The Lord is my shepherd." You know when we moved on? When the Holy Spirit told me it was time to move on. The young man in the back of the room accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He got down in Sunday school. In Sunday school. Not at church, not at an invitation. In Sunday school, he wept. And got down on his knees and invited Christ into his heart. And when we all hugged over him and we prayed over him and he got back up, I said, "Do you understand the 23rd Psalm?" He said, "I know who the Lord is. And for the rest of my life, he'll be my shepherd." Brother, are you ready to go? I don't know why you're still on that slide. What are you waiting on? I'm teasing you. All right. I shall not want. We're going to blast through these next slides because we only have 5 minutes. So here's how we're just going to blast through the 23rd Psalm, but see how important this phrase is. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Here's how you're going to do it. You see the word because? Everything in the 23rd Psalm comes off of this. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What that means is I shall not lack for anything that God deems important. It's not about what you want. It's about what God wants for you. Whatever God deems important, he's going to take care of. Therefore, I am satisfied with the provisions in my life. I am content. To answer that young man's question from our church, he said, "Dennis, what does this mean? I shall not want." And I said, "How content are you with God in your life? How satisfied are you? I shall not be in want." So let's move on. We're going to go through these slides. Because of what you can't see because of the time. Oh, you can see it here. Thank you. Because the Lord is my shepherd, which comes from verse 1, I shall not lack provision and peace. Why? Because he maketh me lie down in green pastures. Do you see how this all feeds off of this? Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. I am satisfied. I am content with God's provision and the peace he brings in my life. Verse 2, David phrases that as, he makes me lie down. How stubborn are we as sheep? The fact he has to make us lie down? Some of you get so caught up maybe in our jobs or our work or whatever. We wouldn't lie down unless God came up to us and grabbed us and did that. And that's what he's talking about. Sometimes he has to, the hook, I saw that. The shepherd's hook, lie down. Next one. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack nourishment. Spiritually nourished. He leads me beside the still waters, not the crazy rapids. Still waters are calm waters. I'll tell you what, you want to put me to sleep? All you got to do is play that little bitty thing with the calm waters just kind of trickling over a rock. I'm gone. Okay? That's a calmness. That's a peace. That's a nourishment that only God can bring into my life. Next, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack forgiveness and restoration because when I cry out to him, was this you, Judy? When I cry out to him, he restores my soul. Well, the Lord is your shepherd and you're his sheep. Why would you ever have to be restored? Really? Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray. How many times in our life do we need to be restored? Do we need forgiveness? How faithful is God? Is it 1 John 4:9? Am I quoting that right? I hope so. 1 John 4:9. God is faithful and just. That if we will confess our sins to him, what will he do? He'll forgive us. Next one. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack direction. Why? Because he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. He leads me. Do you know why God leads? It's not so much about us. He wants us walking. It's for his name's sake. Don't you go out there and shame my name. I might say that to my son. Don't you go out there in the world and shame your name, the Hicks name or whatever your name is. And the Lord says that to us. Don't go out there and shame the name of the Lord. I shall not lack direction. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Yes, it benefits me, but it's for his namesake. Quickly, guidance and protection. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Again, keep going. I shall not lack encouragement and hope. Why? For the Lord art with me. Keep going. I shall not lack security and friendship. Why? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Do you understand why this takes 12 weeks? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack a right relationship with him because thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I love it. A table for two, please. A table for two. Who's your other guest? The Lord. Or the Lord goes in and says, table for two, please. Well, I only see one. Dennis is on his way. He'll be here. Boom, there he is. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack honor. He anoints my head with oil. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack blessings untold. Because of you, Lord, you cause my cup to runneth over. I shall not lack joy and abundant life because I have the assurance. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And lastly, can you say, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever? I'm going to end it as I started. You cannot claim, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever if you cannot exclaim, the Lord is my shepherd. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this time. I pray, Lord, that we will keep this psalm close and dear to our heart. May it nourish us on a daily basis. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.